In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow is the National Day of Thanksgiving here in the United States. Because it's a secular holiday, strictly speaking, you don't need to be religious in order to celebrate it. Atheists, agnostics, materialists, pagans, and everything else under the sun will also gather together around a table to be merry, to eat, to drink, to relax, to enjoy the good things that the last year has provided. They might even say a word of grace before they eat. And there's a good chance that many will take a moment to think at least of one thing that they're thankful for, one good thing that they enjoy that they can mention before others. Maybe you've even sat around one of these tables before, and when your turn comes to say that one thing you're thankful for, you try to think of an individual thing or event or person, perhaps the new home, the sale of the old home, a good first semester at college, the PlayStation or Nintendo, your spouse, your children, your grandparents, the food that's sitting before you, something like that. And to whom do you give thanks? Well, for those who do not confess God, they'll still find someone to thank. The people gathered around them, or those people who are unseen who helped provide this bounty, to the animals who gave their lives so that we could enjoy this feast, to the earth, which provides its fruit, maybe to luck, good fortune, the universe. Or perhaps maybe reserve just a little bit of thanks for myself for really making it possible. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not totally condemning the practice of giving thanks for particular gifts. There's nothing wrong with counting your blessings. In fact, we sort of teach our children to do this when we teach them the explanation to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, that in praying, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking God to lead us to realize that he gives us daily bread, and so that we would receive it with thanksgiving, and that includes everything from food and drink, clothing and shoes, house, home, land, animals, and so on. It's not bad to make note of these blessings as they come. And while we shouldn't give credit to things like luck or the universe, it is certainly appropriate to render thanks to those people who have blessed you in your life. It's good to thank the cook when he or she prepares a meal for you. So there's nothing wrong with that sort of thanksgiving. But as Jesus tells us in our third lesson from the Gospel of Luke this evening, there is more to life than the abundance of possessions, and so there should be more to our thankfulness than simply listing off that abundance one by one. And so there is a deficiency, we might say, in the common secular celebration of Thanksgiving. And it's not just because they don't rightly know the one who provides all things. In order to see this deficiency, I think we would do well to reconsider our first lesson from this evening from Deuteronomy chapter 26. Again, it reads, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, 'I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us.' Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God, 'A wandering Aramean was my father, but he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. The Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us, and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. So far, Deuteronomy. When we consider Deuteronomy and God's prescription to the Israelites through Moses as to how they are to render thanks for the fruits of the earth, in the first place, and most obviously, true thanksgiving gives thanks to the one who only and rightly deserves our highest thanks and praise. That is God, and not a generic God, not that God that many even in our secular nation still may name, but the one true God. The one true God who has personally revealed his name to us. Thus the Israelites were to say to the priest, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. They were to confess that the Lord heard their voice and saw their affliction, that the Lord brought them out of Egypt, that the Lord gave them the fruit of the ground. Now, when we hear this in English, it may not be as apparent, but when you read this in your English translations, you'll note that the word Lord is not the title Lord, but a name. You'll note that the word Lord is in all capital letters, meaning that it is truly the name Yahweh, God's name, God's particular name. And so we see that when the Israelites offered their gift of thanks to the Lord, they offered it specifically to Yahweh, the one true God, confessing him by name. Now, secondly, we see in this account that true thanksgiving is not just a matter of naming particular possessions, people, or events in isolation one by one, but rather giving thanks for God's overarching goodness and mercy, without which we couldn't even claim a single blessing. The Israelites truly were to bring forth the first fruits of the ground, but not so much giving thanks for this bushel of wheat or that barley or this pile of olives or this bunch of grapes, but rather they were to bring forth the first fruits of the ground as a testimony, as proof that God had kept his promise of salvation. They brought forth the first fruits of the ground, confessing that God had delivered their fathers out of slavery in Egypt, that he had brought them into the promised land of Canaan, just as he said he would. He kept his word, and this thanksgiving acknowledges and confesses that God kept his word. And so, when they prayed before the altar of the Lord, they didn't simply list their blessings one by one, those blessings that they personally and individually enjoyed and treasured, but rather they made a comprehensive prayer of thanksgiving, confessing the Lord's mighty works of salvation, those mighty works that had begun even centuries beforehand with their forefather Jacob, blessings that had continued to that very day, culminating with them standing in the Lord's presence. And they were to rejoice, not in this good thing or that one, but in all the good, all that the Lord had given. And again, not only to themselves, the ones that they personally thought highly of, but the good that the Lord had done to all, yes, even to their house, to the sojourner, to the Levite, to everyone among them, to the whole community. Now, in the third place, as we look at this passage, we see that true God-pleasing thanksgiving calls for sacrifice. The Israelites did not give thanks to God, then feast on the first fruits themselves, and they most certainly didn't go around their table giving thanks to God after they had stuffed their bellies with the first fruits. No, they brought the first fruits to the Lord. to the altar, to the priest. They piled it in a basket and they set it down before God. They gave it up. They gave up the first fruits of the land that the Lord had given to them. They sacrificed what was theirs to the Lord, their God, confessing that it was truly His. In the sacrifice of thanksgiving, not merely of words, but of actual possessions, the Israelites confessed in word and deed that all things truly come from God, and that of His own things they could only give back to Him. And finally, we see in this passage that true thanksgiving is not meant to be offered alone in isolation, but rather this is part and parcel of worship of the one true God as the people of God. The Israelites were not told to stay in their own homes, but rather they were to go. They were to go to that place where the Lord chose to make His name dwell. They were to go to the priest whom He had appointed. They were to go to the altar where sacrifices and praises and prayers were offered to Him. In confession and in thanksgiving, they were to worship God. They were to rejoice in Him. They were to give thanks to His holy name. There is much to inform our Christian celebration of thanksgiving in this passage from Deuteronomy. And so tonight, as we perhaps are still making our plans for tomorrow, or perhaps many of those plans are already in place, we do well to consider how we, as God's people today, in this land, are to celebrate thanksgiving. Do we want to be like the world, for whom this day simply means one day of generic thankfulness for a few individual good things that come to mind, followed by, or maybe even preceded by, excessive eating and drinking and merrymaking? Or do we want to be like the people of God in the Old Testament, for whom thanksgiving was specifically offered to the one true God, Yahweh, who had revealed His name to them? Thanksgiving offered for all of His benefits, not only in that very day or even year, but stretching back throughout the centuries. By sacrificing the first fruits of earthly blessing, which they themselves could have enjoyed, but instead gave up as a confession of faith, a confession that they made in worship, leaving their homes to gather in that place where the Lord willed to make His name dwell. Beloved, you are God's chosen people today. You are His holy nation. And therefore, let us give thanks to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, and boldly confess that He alone is the Lord God Almighty, worthy of all our praise and thanks. Let us offer our thanks, yes, for those individual gifts of daily bread like clothing and shoes, food and drinks, certainly. But more than that, for all the grace that the Lord God has made to abound to us. He has distributed our daily bread freely in order to support this body and life. But above all, He has given His only begotten Son for us to bear our sin, to be our Savior, to suffer and die for us on the cross that we might be redeemed from slavery to sin and death and the devil, and have the hope of everlasting life in that promised land that the Lord has laid up for us in heaven. Yes, let us give thanks that His righteousness endures forever and is freely counted to us by grace alone, through faith alone. Let us show our thankfulness not by mentioning one thing here or there around the table, but in lives that are wholly given to His service, as we offer to God our sacrifices of praise, of thanksgiving, of our very selves as living sacrifices. Yes, even giving our first fruits of what we bring in, our income, to support the preaching of the holy gospel here in this place and around the world, and also to help support those who lack in our community and elsewhere by giving from our abundance to meet their need. And yes, let us not only give thanks around our tables tomorrow with our family and friends, but look forward to that time again in just a few days on Sunday, when we will give thanks with those who are our brothers and sisters by faith in the Holy Christian Church, as we gather in this place where God has willed to make his name dwell, where his word is rightly preached and his sacraments are administered, where we may stand and sit and kneel here to worship him by name, confessing him by name, telling out by name all that he has done for us, not only in giving us bread for this life, but the bread of heaven to sustain us for the life of the world to come. As dearly beloved Christians, when we give thanks like that, as the people of God have done from the very beginning, then we can count on having a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving indeed. For our giving of thanks will not just be a matter of one afternoon, once a year, seated around one table, giving thanks for that one thing that pops into our mind at the last second. But rather, at all times and in all places will we give thanks to our Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And not only throughout our days here on earth, which God has blessed abundantly, but even eternally, as we praise and thank him in heaven above with the angels and the archangels, and yes, all the company of heaven forevermore. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.